You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I pull up Viaje Estados Unidos, and lo and behold, a page with directions, with routes, prices, $6,000 to come to the United States, $9,300 to get to San Antonio. It takes a simple search of Get to the Frontera, right. And that is all it takes to find out exactly who to pay, how to get here, and how you're going to get smuggled across. And they even talk about in these ads how you can take a six-year-old or under, or if you're a single adult, what they're going to do to help get you across.
Wow. This is May 7th, 2021. You are listening then to the words of Congresswoman Kat Kamamak of Florida, Republican, and said she had been hearing, and then she explored and found it herself, and I just did a search myself and saw some of it. Facebook is banning Trump and anybody that even wants to quote Trump on anything, even if you question anything about the election. And yet they are allowing drug and human smuggling cartels to use Facebook to reach their victims. You heard her say, and we're going to get into that in a lot more detail over the next 2 hours, that on one of the pages, it had a detailed list of how much it's going to cost you if you want to come to the States. One page with directions, routes, prices, a minimum of $6,000 just to get you to the U.S. border. Maybe get you across, maybe not. Maybe they get you there and then that's it. $6,000. If you want to get to San Antonio, deep into Texas, $9,300, and other price listing. Now, of course, where are they coming up with the money if they're so poor, desperate? Well, in many cases, they are either having to get several family members to pull it together for one, or deals are made along the line, specifically with women. If they don't have that much money, then maybe you can work it off. And with children that are showing up at our border that are 6, 8, 9 years old, they don't have the money. Maybe their parents got it and paid it to drug cartels to get their child from the Northern Triangle or somewhere in Mexico to our border. Maybe they paid that kind of money, or maybe they sold the child to the cartel and got something in return for their family that's still there. This is what's been going on across the border ever since Joe Biden became president and took pen in hand and struck down everything Trump had done to secure our border, starting with the stay in Mexico policy. He wiped it out with a stroke of the pen. It's gone. You could say, and we've said it before, and I'll re-insist, right now, President Joe Biden of the United States of America is the biggest booster, fundraiser, supporter of Mexican human smuggling and drug cartels. They have to be just laughing their butts off. Hey, the President of the United States is making us rich. And this is not even talking about the horrors that some of those faces they try to come across the border or make that journey. We're going to have more details of that. And, of course, keep in mind, the White House still said, no crisis. There's no crisis here. And part of the things they had to worry about, apparently, according to Jen Psaki, the White House spokeswoman, the president saying anything, I mean anything. They have told him, and she said so in an interview, we don't like you answering questions. Don't answer questions. Especially if you're walking somewhere, don't answer a question just being thrown at you. Don't do that. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into how businesses need workers but can't find them. Unemployment COVID checks are hitting many businesses, especially restaurants. The St. Louis listeners are probably familiar with one of the three locations of Cafe Napoli. One of the partners in that Cafe Napoli operation will tell you just how bad it is for that restaurant and others. We have a 19-ton Chinese rocket falling to Earth. We don't know exactly where it's going to hit, but we've got a security analyst coming on, going to talk about the latest on that and how China has been selling poison candy and pet food to U.S. customers. And one of the strangest emails ever, a listener offering to send me money and encouraging you to send money, just wanting to know how much. I'll explain. We have a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Here's my message to corporate America, corporate Georgia. Have you lost your mind? Don't you realize that the only thing between you and your companies and your shareholders and the Democratic agenda of high taxes, incredible regulations, and unbelievable spending is the Republican Party?
That's a very good question, and it comes, of course, from Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina. You've got these woke corporations suddenly springing into action. Now, we saw it, of course, in the beginning in the sports area and arenas when they all kowtowed to Black Lives Matter demands. You must put BLM on uniforms or on the field somewhere. Otherwise, you must be racist. And, of course, even putting names or slogans on jerseys, if necessary. It was extortion. It was extortion. The company owners know it. Their shareholders know it. But they have to decide, do we pick a fight here and die on this hill, or we just kind of go along to get along? And that's what they've been doing. They've just been simply kind of seeing which way the wind blows, and the strongest wind that hits them right now in the face is the progressive movement, the effort to transform America. The very thing that Senator Chuck Schumer said, we win Georgia, those two Senate seats, we control America. We begin transforming America, and they've been doing that. It's not a secret. It's not a secret. They laid it out in plan. This would be like, if we go back to World War II, and of course we finally were able to crack the code that the Nazis were using and other codes as well. I mean, So we ended up knowing exactly what they were going to do. But before that, we were kind of in the blind. But once we got a chance to crack the code and start getting information, we knew what the next plan. We also knew how to plant different pieces of information that would go to them, and then they would be responding to something we did not plan on happening. We just let them know it might happen. And we even built fake positions, acting as if we were advancing on fronts. These woke corporations, they are so frightened right now to stand up. Most. There are those, of course, that have refused to at least bow to what they're being addressed and told to do. Chick-fil-A being one of them a perfect example. And of course, because they don't, then they're also under attack. The owner is a Christian. He's blamed. The restaurants are not open on Sundays. Every worker at Chick-fil-A knows, I won't have to work a Sunday because the business is not open on Sunday. Now, they may or may not go to church, the workers, but they know they're going to have a day free. They might have to work some long hours otherwise, but when it comes to Sunday, they're going to be free because the owner said, we're not going to be open on Sunday. I think the only exception they were making, and I'm not even sure if they ended up doing it, that was in some of the sports domes where a Sunday event was underway and they had a franchise that they might have been obligated, possibly by contract, that they had to be available. I'm not really sure about that part, but if they did it, it was only because they wanted to be inside the operation, so they're having to do that. And in some airports, they might be doing it. Again, it's a convenience for passengers, but generally, we'll just take that day as the Lord's day, a day of rest. We will not seek profit. Now, there's nothing wrong with businesses that decide they want to stay open and do that. I'm not condemning them at all. That's a corporate decision at a pay scale that the workers don't have, and so whatever is decided, that's what they do. But what we've had lately is extortion. We saw this in the past. Many companies had already faced it. Back in the 80s in particular, I remember, some of it started then. It was green mail that we're going to boycott your station. We're going to be out there protesting in front of your TV station if you don't do this or do that, radio stations or any other business. And maybe one of the things, if you hire, in fact, many did, this is where the birth of diversity, instruction, and leadership all came. I mean, they have folks that suddenly declare that they are a diversity instructor or professor or whatever else. And so I'm here to help you. You pay my contract, you pay my money, and I'll hold seminars for you and your people, or I'll arrange it for others. They were, again, preying upon you do not want to be labeled on the wrong side of the race issue. That was a key point. But there were others involved as well. And, of course, the Georgia election law, which we saw Coca-Cola, based out of Atlanta, and Delta Airlines, headquartered in Atlanta, extremely upset over the Georgia election law, claiming it's disenfranchising voters. It did not. It gave them more days of voting and allowed them more opportunities for voting with ballot drop-off boxes than they'd had before, just going to be better secured. They already had voter ID. The only additional ID they wanted, if you're going to take a ballot mailed to your home, we have to have a voter ID. We have to know it's you living at that location. Those laws are more reflective of helping folks vote than exist in the state of Delaware, which is, let me see, it's the home of one of the president. What's he in? He's all riding the train all the time. Biden, yeah. Is he still president? Is he still president? The only reason I'm asking, because Jen Psaki already made it clear, and we'll talk about this later, that they don't want him talking to news reporters. They don't want him answering questions. But where's VP Harris? I mean, there's someone else who's missing. 43 days now, not a news conference one on what she's doing about the border issue. But Senator Graham, again, back to his point. When it came to specifically that Georgia election law, He said, here's what happened to me when I was in Georgia speaking to the annual Republican Party fundraising dinner for the Republican Party of Georgia. 18 corporations. Now, he's talking about just 2 days ago. So this is earlier this week, and this is obviously since all the noise over the Georgia election law revision and the MLB, another woke group pulling out of the, taking the All-Star game out of Atlanta, which would have benefited in Atlanta more minority citizens and minority businesses than where they moved it, being Denver, Colorado. Very few minority businesses exist in Denver, Colorado. So it actually backfired on Stacey Abrams and the others who were banging the drum and claiming this law is illegal and companies need to get up in the face of the Republicans in Georgia and make them pay. Well, they said, we'll make them pay. We'll just leave. Take the ball game. I mean, literally, like a kid. We will take our ball and go home or to Denver. Then other companies were facing, what are we going to do? Do we need to put a statement out? I mean, what do we do for protection? I'm telling you, it is as clear as extortion as we've seen in the past from the mafiosa running parts of Brooklyn, the Queens, wherever else. You had a little bar. You like your bar? It looks nice. You want to make sure nothing comes through your glass in the middle of the night. Make sure it doesn't catch fire by mistake. It will protect it for you. Again, extortion. So Senator Lindsey Graham talking about something that happened just 2 days ago. I'm in Georgia speaking to the annual Republican Party fundraising dinner for the Republican Party of Georgia. 18 corporations who gave money last year didn't give us a dime this year. Not one dime. He said only one corporation in Georgia did help the Republican Party. Georgia Power Utility Company. They said had lost $150,000 because corporations in Georgia had been intimidated by the idea of Jim Crow 2.0. He talked about the Republican fundraising. They normally would have gotten at least another $150,000 into the coffers. But the lie stood out. The threat stood out. The wokeness was pushed in the face of the corporations. If you step over that line, we will declare you a first-class racist. So Senator Graham said, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to take $75,000 from my campaign and give it to the Georgia Republican Party. We're going to need that party to have money so they can take the Senate seat back in Georgia. Yeah, it's coming up soon because keep in mind, Senator Warnock is up for re-election right away because it was just filling a term. So right now, these corporations have been basically told, do not give any money to the Republican Party. We will find out if you do. Well, of course they do, because you have to list it on your filings with the Federal Election Commission. You got to show not only the money, but where it went, how it went, and that includes your employees. If your employees, they're giving individual, but if there's research done, they're often going to find, well, look how many employees of this particular company were supporting one party or the other. It's very evident, as you would imagine, out in California with the Silicon Valley, all the big tech companies out there, Facebook, Google, so forth and so on. It's always very clear that something like 80 to 90 plus percent of the employees of those corporations give money only to Democrat causes. Only. But again, Senator Graham says, I have a message for the corporations.
They're trying to intimidate corporate America to abandon the Republican Party. And here's my message to corporate America, corporate Georgia. Have you lost your mind? Don't you realize that the only thing between you and your companies and your shareholders and the Democratic agenda of high taxes, incredible regulations, and unbelievable spending is the Republican Party? Don't you realize that the Republican Georgia The two Democrats in Georgia in the United States Senate are fully on board for the most radical agenda in the history of the country when it comes to tax spending and regulation. So they're intimidated.
Yes, they are intimidated, and they're being extorted. And he's right, because the tax rates, we've already been told. We've already been told that Biden and company, progressives, want to raise the tax rates so high that businesses could be in China and paying less taxes while in China than they would corporate tax rates in the U.S. again. Trump got a lot of businesses to come back. It made it very clear. You come back, we will really give you a big cut on taxes. And they did. They'd gone out of the country anyway because they were being overtaxed. So he said, come back, we're going to take care of you. And they did. Well, now what do you think is going to happen? And out of Pennsylvania the other day, out of Pennsylvania, the word came that a $1.5 billion plant extension, it's not going to go through. They have decided, looking at the horizon, what's happening and the way the economy is going and how far it could go deeper yet, and with more taxes coming and the rising cost of materials as we speak, they said, we'll forget it. That was 1,500 jobs construction, much less those who would be working there later. More on what's happening when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There's a new report out of the Office of New York Attorney General, Letitia James. This is very interesting. It reveals that out of 22 million comments the FCC got during its 2017 rulemaking, when they were looking at what we're going to do about internet service providers, should they provide all online content equally, prevent them from favoring their own service or customers over competitors. Remember that? I mean, we had a $4 million effort funded by Broadband for America. That included major internet providers like AT&T, Comcast, Charter. Apparently coming up with another more money as well. Well, the investigation by the Office of the New York Attorney General found out these 22 million comments that were against doing anything like that. No more controls, no more restrictions. They have now, according again to the AG's office in New York, out of the 22 million comments, 18 million are fraudulent. They're fake. Somebody started just turning them out and sending them in as comments, and they're fake. Either the people don't exist, they don't have the address that they're claimed to be, they were submitted through a campaign by, funded by those broadcast companies that wanted to maintain control and the ability to do what they wanted to. And she found that 2 to 3, maybe 4 million were submitted by a 19-year-old college student using made-up identities. You know, if he took half the work he put into doing that, he might be a successful business person. And then again, maybe he got paid by the companies. We may find some money at the bottom of that. I don't know how many of you have been already threatened with being banned on Twitter or Facebook because of something you did. It's happened. Some consider it to be a badge of courage, but now it's a pretty routine honor being given out. I mean, I've told you that we got a threat from Facebook because we ran one of our interviews with Sidney Powell on YouTube. It wasn't on Facebook. It was on YouTube. And they said, that's one strike. You do it again, you get two, then we will cut you off for a month, and then the third one, we'll just take you off. Well, Twitter is doing the same thing. They had also banned Donald Trump's, you know, being on Twitter. And remember, he's launching a new communications platform Well, the Twitter and the rest of the big tech companies are saying this is still a ban in evasion. His new website, From the Desk of Donald J. Trump, they say this is a violating the ban. And even I have seen comments coming to me from various supporters, listeners of this program say, all I did was copy a story and say, did you guys see this? And I didn't even change it. I didn't even have an opinion. I said, did you see that? And they suddenly get a notice. You're going to be banned. You stepped over the line. You're going to Facebook jail. This is not what you would expect to happen in this country. It shouldn't be, but it is, because some folks have sold out to the progressives, and they're going to go as deep and as long as they can. We have some parts of a 19 to 22-ton Chinese rocket going to fall to Earth. We don't know exactly where. The Chinese apparently had no control over it. I've got a security analyst coming up on that, and also how China has been selling poisoned candy and pet food to Americans. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm sure you've been hearing some stories from time to time. I know I've told you about it, that we have a Chinese rocket breaking apart. At last report, something like a 19-ton section, 100 feet long, is in an uncontrolled reentry. It's going to fall somewhere on Earth. Where? We don't know. And they've had something like this happen in the past, thank goodness, in the past, that it fell in a remote area of Africa, and it didn't hit anyone. But this time around, what's going to happen next? My guest is Christopher W. Holton, security analyst with the Center for Security Policy. Christopher, glad to have you on board, sir.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Now, I'm looking at a piece you penned, and I had a source. I forgot where this article originally appeared. Where was it again?
It actually came, was originally published by worldtribune.com.
Okay, that's what it was. I didn't have it. I lost it somewhere. So I always like to give the folks a source on it. What is your take and what do you know about this Chinese space rocket? Is what I just stated, is that a fact or is some of it being exaggerated?
No, I don't think you're exaggerating at all. The Chinese launched a crew on a Long March 5B space rocket to begin to put up their space station. They're not participants in the International Space Station because they're much too secretive about their space program, so they were excluded from the International Space Station years ago. So they're putting up their own space station, and like a lot of things Chinese, it's the made-in-China version of a space station, so it's probably not so good. Well, one of the problems with their rockets that they either don't have the technical know-how or they just don't care enough to equip their rockets with guidance systems that enable them to bring them down in the controlled descent back to Earth. The Chinese rocket is in an uncontrolled descent back to Earth. Uncontrolled descent is a euphemism for crash. It's
going to be crashing down to Earth. Yeah, that's you're right. That's uncontrolled reentry. You're right. You're talking about a crash. So now is there? It exists now as a 100-foot, 19-ton. I mean, would all of that survive coming through as it enters Earth's atmosphere, or break apart and then spray over hundreds of thousands of miles, possibly?
Yes, that's correct. This is at the core of one of the booster rockets for this. It's a very large rocket, Long March is. And this is the core. And the section, as you described, is about 100 feet long. It's 19.6 tons. Now, it may, in fact, break up into smaller pieces. But when you're talking about something that's 100 feet long and weighs 19 tons, you can break it up into smaller pieces, and then what you're talking about. You're talking about a series of Volkswagens coming down to Earth at that point. So
that's a good analogy. That really gives us a better insight. Now, the previous time, didn't they have something, as I mentioned a moment ago, back in a few years ago, that large parts of one fell into Africa? I don't know how large those were, but thank goodness they didn't hit anyone. It was unoccupied, or I think it might have landed near some villages in Africa, but nobody got killed, that I was told anyway.
That's right, but it was pure luck that nobody got killed, because the Chinese send these rockets up there knowing that they're going to come down in an uncontrolled descent.
And they just don't care. You're telling me
they just don't care.
What if it falls back in their own country? Do they believe that it won't hit them at all? Or do they think there's some way that they know it won't come down on them, but beyond that, they don't care?
I've seen a potential track, and I don't think it will come down in China. Chances are, simply because planet Earth is two-thirds water, chances are this booster will land in the water, but it might not. And actually, we won't know until a few hours before it breaks back into beneath the stratosphere on the 8th of May, which is tomorrow. We'll know sometime tomorrow where it's going to come down. But at this point, because it's uncontrolled, they don't really know where it's going to come down. Now, it could come down somewhere north of New York, I've seen that, or it could come down in the Atlantic Ocean, and there are other places that were listed as possible sites for it to descend.
So tomorrow they should have a better idea on the trajectory, correct? And then
if it's
going to hit in the populated area, what the hell is anyone going to be able to do about it?
I guess get the heck out of the way, depending on what kind of populated area you're talking about.
The entire, and again, folks, you're listening to Christopher W. Holton, a security analyst for the Center for Security Policy. The other thing is China, as you said, has been reckless in so many ways when it comes to dealing with the world and certainly the U.S. Before I go too far, congressional Republicans are now leading a what they call comprehensive investigations into the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. Looking at the possibility of, quote, an accidental leak from a Wuhan lab. We've had others say it was not an accident. Might have been a biological weapon that they did lose control of, or maybe they decided, let it happen and see what happens. That itself, we still don't have an answer on China from that, do we?
No, they've been completely opaque in terms of information about the Wuhan virus. And right from the get-go, they were opaque. They covered it up, they lied about it, and they even allowed 5 million people to leave Wuhan province after they knew that the virus had broken out and that it was transmitted from person to person.
But they didn't allow that. They did not allow them into the capital, Beijing, though, did they?
No. They allowed international travel, but not travel within China.
All right, then we have the problem that we buy so many products from them, and I'm looking at this piece. You pointed out that Chinese-made candy which went to the U.S., New Zealand, and Philippines, contain formaldehyde and other such items?
Yeah, there's a whole list in the article that I wrote about Chinese consumer products that have proven to be, if not harmful, outright deadly to people around the world.
How did that even get into our country?
Yeah, that's a good question. We've been sold a bill of goods that we have to have communist slave labor to support our free enterprise system. And that's how we end up with so many things made in China. And a lot of things that are made in China are either toxic or poorly made and dangerous as a result.
Yeah, you point out a toothpaste that they were suddenly making available that had an ingredient you find in antifreeze.
Yes. And some of the stuff that they put in some of their products, some of the ingredients, they put in there purposely to make the product look better or to last longer, knowing that that ingredient was harmful. They just did it anyway.
Well, we know how harmful it's been on when it came to some of the pet foods because of there's something like 4,000 dogs and cats in this nation that were documented that they died back around 2005 or 7 when those pet foods came in that came out of China and they had something inside that substance that was deadly for the pets.
Yeah, and perhaps the worst example is the Chinese drywall. There's probably people listening to your broadcast right now in the St. Louis area who've had experience with this. I know I had a friend, a personal friend, who was a former Green Beret medic and built a house. Unbeknownst to him, the contractor used Chinese drywall. He and his children developed severe respiratory symptoms after a period of time in the house, came to find out that the drywall was toxic. This happened in like 20,000 homes a little over a decade ago in the United States. And, of course, there was no means by which someone could sue the Chinese manufacturer of the drywall. And, I mean, this was a catastrophe. They had people get terribly sick. Children get terribly sick because of the toxic.
Well, speaking of children, all the toys that come in, you pointed out that many times they are still using lead-based paint when we have outlawed that in this nation for decades now.
And of course, they know that lead-based paint is not allowed in the United States, and they know that it is toxic, and yet they continue to use it because they don't care. They do not care. They steal intellectual property. They steal all kinds of secrets, corporate secrets.
And in the last 30 seconds, you're using an opportunity to get that deadly drug fentanyl produced in Chinese factories into the nation, our nation.
Yes. Most of the fentanyl that we know about comes from small factories throughout China and are sent here through Latin America via smuggling routes. And fentanyl is produced extremely inexpensively in China. And they've been uncooperative in trying to cut that rat line off.
Christopher, I want to thank you very much for your time and keeping us posted on this. We'll be back with you on some additional subjects in the future.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Christopher Holton, security analyst for the Center for Security Policy. Coming up, a senator says, I know what's happening, but who cares?
A trend has started of Republican governors in states essentially canceling the federal unemployment pandemic bonus that was part of the last COVID relief, saying that their state is withdrawing from participating in that. It happened in Montana. Greg Gianforte saying we're going to not do that. We're not going to pay that extra bonus that was part of the COVID relief package. Today, the South Carolina governor also ordering the exact same thing. And the argument is, you guys have gone and screwed up the labor markets by giving people this unemployment money, and now employers can't hire people. What do you say to that?
Well, you say maybe employers ought to increase wages. You start with that.
Yeah, right. Sure. Immediately. You were listening to Chris Hayes of And I'm Not Sitting to BC. And that response, he was asking, what do you say to all of that after these governors, he said, a trend among Republican governors canceling federal unemployment pandemic bonus, part of the last COVID relief, saying we're pulling out of it because all that money is screwing up the labor markets. We cannot get people to work. So what do you say to that? Well, the Senator Sherrod Brown, a Democrat of Ohio, said, well, I think the employer should increase wages. I've told you previously that there was a bank I was in, and this is even before COVID hit, that they could not find people to be a teller. They were paying $20 an hour. You don't have to get out in the march of the street for $50. They were going to pay $20 starting. You've got a nice environment to work in. You're never going to have to work on a federal holiday. You will not work on a Sunday. You might have to work part-time on Saturday occasionally. And they couldn't find people to fill that. And now all this hit. And all the money started flowing in. We definitely had the need for it. Some people more than others. Jobs got lost, or they're trying to work, and they got to have health care or daycare for their kids because the schools were closed down. So it was a difficult thing, clearly. But what becomes a helping hand turns into just everybody get in the boat. Let's just ride it. Just quit. The job report just came out, and in the first 100 days, Joe Biden's administration falls short of 2 million jobs. The economy adding just 266,000 jobs in April. 266,000. And March got revised down by 146,000. It's a disaster. But they're trying to still say, we're making progress. That's the response from the Biden administration. Say it's looking better. We're looking good. It's a flat-out lie. Right now, we still have 8.2 million jobs short of our pre-lockdown levels. Why? Again, because of this money that's going out. Our unemployment rate now is at 6.1%. When it started, we were 3% or less at that point before COVID hit. And yes, governors like DeSantis and others have said, residents in Florida receiving these unemployment benefits, you better start looking for a job. You're going to show proof you are looking for a job. We're going to shut it down. Some of it's being cut off in Florida, maybe as early as June. Some are saying maybe July. By March this year, the unemployment rate in Florida lower than 5%. But now unemployment in these same states going up to 14%. As the governor said, I think it's pretty clear, we have an abundance of job openings. And, of course, you see it wherever you are. And let's look at just the St. Louis market. In the next hour, I'm going to spend more time on that, specifically with some of the employers trying to find jobs and efforts to hire people that have failed in the St. Louis market. Now, some of you beyond the St. Louis borders, you're seeing it as well. But the St. Louis market, I've got a Kai Piatoso. The Piatoso family owns three different locations of Cafe Napoli. Now, ironically, they opened the third just as we were in the midst of COVID. They actually opened it up in January. I was surprised they were going to push forward, but they were. And they've been very good in drawing crowds, but getting employees. There's a place that came out that was basically, I think, out of Texas, the Uncle Julio's, that's open in a very nice area. Of course, Cinco de Mayo, they were jammed. I know because Quentin and I went there, and Jason Padilla, the general manager, was there. He was working long hours, were all the folks. They were all jammed, but they were somehow able to muster up people for that. And yet I know another Mexican restaurant, they could not open because they didn't have enough employees. They were trying to cover two of their other locations, so a third one just couldn't open it. Why? Well, because if folks are making as much or maybe even more based off of COVID relief checks and money, based off of unemployment from the states that they're giving them as well, in addition to COVID relief money being funneled through the states, they don't want to work. And in some cases, women in particular, they had to stay home with the kids, not necessarily the women, but maybe the bigger pay, a wage earner is the husband, so the women stay home with kids. Sometimes it's the other way around. And some, there's a legitimate issue there, but we are in this situation. Where is our work ethic? Where is a work ethic? We're going to get into that in more detail coming up in the next hour. And we're also going to get into another subject, and that is, what exactly are we going to be doing about the cartels?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.